I would like to draw your attention to Genesis chapter 12, please, and then we can get into the preaching of the word this evening. And when you find the scripture, then you can stand with me as we read. I'm going to read just the first four verses. It says here, "Now the Lord said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. And Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran." We just arrived at DFW last Monday. So I've preached once in English. I've preached more in Spanish in my life than I have in English. So if something comes out that you don't quite understand what I was saying, it was probably Spanish. But I'm trying to change the chip in my brain, getting back to English, because it is true. I have preached more in my life in Spanish than I have in English. But this message that I would like to just bring a thought this evening, a couple of thoughts about transforming faith. Transforming faith. Have you ever had something in your life that you could not explain happen? Something that you knew that it was God? Something that you knew that there was no human explanation for. I think that every Christian wants to have that happen in their life before they pass away. Amen. I believe that we all want to see God work in something that cannot be explained humanly. That cannot be explained by science. Something that cannot be explained by reason or logic or whatever. God did something special in this. God was there. God did this. The people call it, what do they call it? What's that word? God incidents or whatever, coincidence. That word. But I want that, and you want that. We want to see God working in our lives, in our family, in our church. And this is a challenge to me, because we see here God changing the life of a man by the name of Abram. It's going to transform his life. And what is God doing in my life that is unexplainable? Where you can say that I've never seen anything like that, like walking on water. Has anybody seen anybody walk on water? I haven't. But you know, things have like that have happened. And so I don't want to meet the Lord just going through my Christian walk, through my Christian life, having experienced all the normal things. I want to see God do special things. I want to see God use me, use my family, use you, and see the Lord glorified in all that we do. And I have seen that in the work in Spain. Every time I look out at our congregation on Sunday mornings, I see a group of people that God is working in their lives and transforming their lives. There was no independent Baptist church in this whole area of Spain 30 years ago. And when I look out and I see a congregation of saved, born-again believers, it blesses my soul to know that God is doing a work. It's God that does the work, it's not me. We're just being faithful. God does the work and raises these people up. And he's given us a beautiful building that 2 years ago we could not even imagine what it would look like. As I said in the video, we were growing. Our church had been in this storefront building that we had bought in 2020. And we were there and we were starting to get squashed. That's a good West Texas word, right? Squashed, squished. We were 50 people in an area about maybe these six or seven pews here. It was getting too small. We began to pray, Lord, we need you to do something. We need you to open a door, give us direction and guidance. And the Lord began helping us to look in different places. And we walked into an unfinished building that had been standing there 20 years. It was just the structure, the brick and everything. 20 years I walked in and I had a revelation that I could see, I could visualize what this could be like. And I could see what this could, what the Lord could do there. And the Lord allowed us if you've read our prayer letters, through a long process of trying to work with the bank and all through regulations and rigmarole that the government was requiring of us. Finally, we just bought the building, but then we needed some help getting the building finished. And so there was some people that gave us some special love offerings. And it was just amazing how God, I cannot explain it. I was sitting on our couch in Abilene last time we were here to visit our grandkids, and sitting on a couch, and I received an email. We were praying, God, how are we going to afford this? How are we going to do this? And I received an email from somebody I did not know, from somebody I did not solicit any help from. I put out our prayer letter. We have this building. We need $300,000 to finish this building. And this foundation, a group of Christians, these men that the Lord had blessed richly, said, we want to help you with this. We want to help you. We will give you $50,000 of matching funds. You get the churches to raise $50,000, we'll give you $50,000. And so for the next year, we raised that $50,000, and they gave us $50,000. That was $100,000. And then the bank said, well, you buy it, but we can't help you because we don't sue churches. We can't get any collateral. We can't do anything. You buy the building, but we can't help you with the remodeling or anything. So we had $200,000 that we needed to raise, and this foundation said, we will help you with that. We will help you with that. You sell the building where you're at now, give it to another church in Valencia, and we will give you the $200,000 that you need for that building. I don't know about you, but has anybody ever given you $300,000? No, that's God. Amen. That's God. That's the Lord. I was floored. And every Sunday I see that building, I see those people, and I see that what God has done there and what God is doing, He's raising up people. And so basically what I want to say this evening is Abraham has a faith here that he believes God. He believes God God is going to do something for him. God took him out of Ur of the Chaldees. And it says here that he set out, verse 1, now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, from thy father's house, and unto a land that I will show thee. He left his home, he left his land, he left his family, he left everything he knew because he had faith that God was going to keep his word, take care of him, and meet his needs. Do you have a God like that? Do you have a God that will give you that kind of assurance and faith that no matter what happens, I am going to be with you? Abraham was in a comfortable place. He was a well-to-do man. He had his family. And God was about to change that. But sometimes God moves us out of those things that are comfortable. When we get too comfortable, I believe that God moves us out of those comfort zones. So faith has to be exercised. Faith has to be stretched. Faith has to be placed to the limits of its endurance so it can expand and develop. And so very often, God allows us to go through trying experiences. I've heard the prayer request tonight. Families going through difficult times. God will be glorified through all that, one way or the other. He knows what He's doing, and God is increasing our faith, strengthening our faith. And so that faith is stretched, and sometimes it leaves us sore, sometimes it leaves us limping, but it takes us to the next level where God wants us to be. Where do you want to be? Do you want to be where you were last year, this year, or do you want to continue growing in your faith, following the Lord? Amen? You want to have that faith stretched. A lot of churches are in the comfort zone. You know, using the terminology of football, you got the end zone, comfort zone. Where is the comfort zone? In the bleachers, curled up with a blanket, watching everyone else. And I think most Christians are too comfortable. I think most Christians are too comfortable. We have the United States is the wealthiest country in the world. We have no persecution here yet. That may be coming. I think most Christians are too comfortable. I think the political, social, and spiritual climate in the United States is changing, and we are going to be challenged in the future as the Lord increases our faith. But faith makes you step out where it is uncomfortable, uncertain, unknown, but the rewards are great. Then we also see here that faith makes us focus our attention on God. Look at these verses here in Genesis chapter 12 again. Now the Lord said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, from thy father's house, and from to a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them, and curse him, and curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. What was I emphasizing there? The Lord. the Lord. Our eyes need to be focused on Him. Focus our attention on the Lord. I will, I will, I will. These are the promises of God. And God is not a liar. God keeps His word. God is faithful. God will never let you down. He does not defraud you. He does not deceive you. And so all of these six verses that I read here about what God is saying to Abram is a promise to us that God will keep His words also, all of His words to us. Faith is not about me. It's about keeping our eyes on God. And as a missionary for over 35 years, I can attest that God has been faithful. God has been faithful. We're not always faithful, but God is. And the object of a Christian's faith is not his or her own ability or strength. The object of a believer's faith is the all-powerful God. Remember, your faith is a gift from God, and its object is Jesus. Everything that we do is to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's not for glory. It's for the Lord's glory, for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so your faith is in Jesus, not in yourself or in your ability. And I would like to just challenge you, some of the folks here. I see all of these young people, and I see married couples, to consider what God would like to do through you. I would like for everybody to just come to Spain. All right? Can we just do that? Can we just all pack a suitcase and come to Spain in July? Y'all come and live with us for another 20, 30 years, okay? And we'll just all work together and reach Spaniards for Christ. Would that be all right? Well, you wouldn't have a church here. but it would be wonderful if two or three or four or five or six couples came over and helped us. You know, I go through city after city in Spain. No church there. No church. They got their Catholic church in the spire there. No church there. We're talking about the whole region of Murcia, Spain. We're the only independent Baptist church. And there's no... if somebody were to leave our church, there's no other place they could go to. You know, there's no other church. There's no other option. That's all there is. You know, the Jehovah's Witnesses are there. The Mormons are there. But I pray that God would speak to hearts about the need for missions around the world. You know, God is still calling. People aren't listening. But God is still calling. We're busy with a lot of things. You know, our country is in trouble. The United States is in trouble. Our leadership and everything. We're going through a rough patch right now, rough times. But you know, God has permitted that. God is on His throne. And God is allowing everything that has happened for His honor and for His good, for your good and for His glory, and to teach us a lesson and to help us to grow closer to Him. I could go on, but all of this, the same thing in Spain. And so we know that God is in control. We need to focus our attention on Him. And we need also to exercise obedience. God said to Abraham, get up. I want to make a blessing of you. You need to leave your father's house. For some of us, that's not too bad, right? Leave your father's house and go on. Verse 4. And so Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. And Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. He departed. God doesn't make mistakes. How old was Abraham? He was 75. I want to do something with you. You've been doing something now for 75 years. Let's do something else. Let's do something else. Abram, I've got some plans for you. And so the bottom line was, Abram said, all right, I'm going to tell you the spiritual secret for success. All right? Now pay attention. This is how you spell success. O-B-E-Y. Okay? Got it? Obey. Spiritual success. Obey. Obey whatever God tells you to do. Obey whatever God puts on your heart. You want to serve God, please God, do His will, glorify the Lord Jesus Christ? Obey. Obey. Trust and obey. There's no other way. Amen? And so Abram obeyed, and even though he didn't know where he was going or why he did it, faith says obey even when you don't know why or can't explain it. We walk by faith. And God will work through us. And it also says here that faith takes you beyond the limits of common sense. He was 75 years old. I don't know about you, but most people around 75 are getting ready to retire if they haven't already. And I'm glad to see all the young people here this evening. There's not too many old geezers here. Amen. I'm getting up there. So I love antiques. One day I'm going to be one. And so verse 4 says he departed. He was 75 years old. That didn't make sense. That didn't figure. God deals with the impossible. There's no further word from God in the scriptures to Abraham until he obeys. You hear me? God doesn't speak to Abraham anymore until he obeys. And so Noah built an ark. That didn't make sense. There wasn't any water nearby. It never rained. Mary said, Mary, you're going to have a baby. What? I'm a virgin. I've never known a man. That didn't make sense. The Apostle Paul defines faith as now faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So faith is the power. And we all need this transforming faith this evening. Amen. Faith is the power to see into the spiritual realm, into things invisible and eternal. It is the power to understand those things that are not perceived by worldly senses. And we all want to see God work in our lives in one way or another. It would be a shame to get to the end of our lives and say, well, I never saw God really answer any specific prayer or do anything special in my life. That would be a shame. We all want to see that. And so I explained to you about that building. And of course, we all have big problems. For the big problem for most of us is that we tend to base everything on what our senses tell us. We can't see the answer. We can't see the solution. We can't perceive. And since the spiritual world is not visible to any of these senses, our faith is often weak and impotent. But God is sovereign, and we trust Him to do what's right. And then it says here in verse 5 and 6, that faith challenges you to take a risk. Verse 5, Abraham took Sarai, his wife, Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land into the place of Sychem, and into the plain of Moreh, and the Canaanite was then in the land. So there were Canaanites in the land. What's Canaanites? What are Canaanites? That's the enemy, right? That's the danger. That's a challenge. Life is a risk. If you're going to serve God, if you're going to do something and be faithful, there is always the chance of danger. There's always the chance of failure. We take a risk every day. When you get out of bed, it's a risk. When you leave your house in the car, you get out in traffic, you're taking a risk. Life is full of risk. You can play it safe or you can take a risk. Getting in your car, to work, dealing with coworkers, it's a risk. Relationships, it's a risk. Marriage, children, 12 children, that's a risk. Life is full of choices. Choose to live by faith. Faith requires us to step out and take risks in our spiritual lives. Maybe there's a risk in buying a new building, starting a new ministry. Maybe there's something God has placed on your heart. And you say, I don't know. I don't know if I can do it. I don't feel prepared. I don't know if this is what God wants. Step out by faith. Can you do that? Step out by faith. God will let you know. God will let you know. No. That's not what I wanted. God will let you know. But take that risk. There's a risk in everything that we do as Christians. You know, I preach to our people every Sunday that there are three kinds of churches in the world. There's the caretaker church, there's the undertaker church, and there's the risk taker church. You know what a caretaker church is? That's us four and no more. That's the caretaker church. Then there's the undertaker church. That church is dead, and somebody needs to bury it. And then you have the risk taker church, and that's the kind of church that I want. A church that is willing to, I have a great God, and I know that God can do great things. Not a God that's small, not one that I can put in my pocket, not one that I can explain everything. You know, there's things in the Bible that I can't explain because my God is so infinite and so deep and so far. What He's revealed to me is deep enough, but there's things that He hasn't revealed. God is so great and so big. I don't want to be a gardener of a caretaker church. I don't want to be a funeral director of an undertaker church. I want to be a risk taker. And it's dangerous, that's true. But it honors God. The kind of church that believes that my God is big, He's alive, He can do whatever He wants, He owns it all, and I serve Him and walk with Him and serve, and I know that He will take care of me and do His will through me. I can testify to that in my own personal life. And to wrap this up, faith is all about Jesus, verse 7 and 8. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land, and there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west, and Hai on the east, and there he built an altar unto the Lord, and he called upon the name of the Lord. This is the first time we see in Abraham's life in the scripture, Abraham calling on the Lord. You know that? You know why? Because he obeyed. God called, he obeyed, he took that risk, he took that faith step. God meets his people at the altar. Faith is not needing to know where you're going as much as knowing who you are following. Amen? Amen. And if we're going to make a difference, we need to do it now. Folks, I believe that time is short. I believe the Lord's coming back soon. My parents' generation, my wife's parents' generation, I believe the Lord's coming back soon. They said that 20 or 30 years ago. Well, we're 20 or 30 years closer to the Lord coming back. I believe the Lord's coming back soon. And I see it. I see it in the technology in the world, the way the world is going. And I believe that we can hear the sound of the Lord any moment now. So what does that mean? Whatever we're going to do for the Lord, we've got to do now. We've got to do it now. We've got to do it now. You've got family members. You've got friends that need to be witnessed to. You need to do it now. You want to serve God, do something incredible with your life, step out. Take that risk. Come to Spain. Help us out. Amen? Be faithful wherever you are, whatever you're doing, because God will bless faithfulness. It makes a difference. So what do you need to do tonight? Do you need to surrender? Surrender your all to the Lord. Surrender that fear. Maybe the Lord has been speaking to you about a ministry, serving, missions, pastoring, whatever. Cast all your cares upon Him. Surrender your anxiety and worry. Surrender the concern that you have about the future, because I know that God has the future in control. Everything is under control. Be anxious for nothing. And whatever your problem is, Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the answer. So perhaps no matter where you are in your life, Jesus is there for you. He will save you if you repent and trust in Him. I don't know if anybody here is lost this evening. Not normally. But maybe there's someone here that's deceived themselves to thinking they're saved. Everyone needs to repent of their sins and place their faith in Jesus Christ. And so I leave you with this question this evening. Do you have this transforming faith that took Abraham out of his comfort zone, from his family, from his city, from his life, at 75 years of age? Do you have that transforming faith in a God that is able to do all things to move you to wherever He wants you to be? Will you be obedient? Will you be obedient? Will you trust Him with your life, with your family, with your kids, with your finances? Be faithful. Faith moves you out of your comfort zone. Focuses your attention on God. Requires obedience. Goes beyond the limits of common sense. It's risky, but it focuses on Jesus. And so I pray that you will have that transforming faith in this church, in every one of us that are listening to this message.